Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Shalom, saints. Hallelujah. With the time that we have left, I know first Sundays are a little packed with the things that we do. But we would just want to make sure that the word goes forth just as everything else has. So if you can turn with me to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. The 10th verse. And we've been talking about for the last few weeks spiritual architecture and design for life. It is important that we get this right. We're living in the last days. Just like I pointed out earlier, we were seeing slavery in 2017. We're seeing the lie or lies presented as truth every day. Let me say that again. Lies every day. You don't even know what the truth is anymore. I know what the truth is, but there are deceivers out there. So we look at the news. We don't even know what news to believe. We don't know who to believe. That's why it's important, y'all, that we can discern what's a lie and what's the truth. Any true believers out here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. True. Tell your neighbor, are you a true believer? Because there's some fake ones out there. But we want what's true. Because listen, y'all, this isn't a game. I don't know why you come to church on Sunday. But I come because I know that I serve the only true and living God. I want to worship him. I want to hear from him. I want to fellowship with other people that believe in him. We're sharpening each other. When I hear your testimony, I get excited. When I hear what Yahweh has done in your life. When we're sharing, when maybe sometimes we're going through something, but guess what? We're victorious. We're victorious. And so when we're talking about spiritual architecture, there's some things that we did not get right when we started building on this spiritual house. Prayerfully, we got the right foundation. But even if we didn't get things right or messed up along the way, he's given us an opportunity to rebuild. Just like he gave the children of Israel an opportunity to what? Rebuild. 40 years in the wilderness. When it didn't have to take all that. Some of y'all been in the wilderness over 40 years. Seriously. Just because you got saved over 20 years ago don't matter. Are you living the saved life? Are you walking in the things that he promised us that we could walk in? And so here when we go to Ephesians 2nd chapter 10th verse, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Mashiach Yeshua unto good works, which Yahweh hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When we see the word ordained, we're meant to. We're supposed to. It is not a suggestion. He is not saying, it's optional. if you want to walk in them. Tell your neighbor, it's not optional. Why you keep on telling me to talk to our neighbor? Because our neighbors need help. And you're included in that. I am too. We all need encouragement. So it's not optional. And many believers are living an optional life. As long as I come to church on Sunday and dress up, I'm cool. Because all I needed to do was just show up. God know my heart. See, that's the problem. He knows your heart. He sees all the darkness that's in there. And the apostle says something real deep. I don't know if you guys caught it. But he said, the worst lie is when you lie to yourself. That's revelation. Because when you lie to yourself, that's one of the biggest lies that you could ever tell. When you deceive, when you try to deceive yourself. Who's lied to themselves? Don't raise me. But that's what we do. So listen, this is about a sincere life. So yeah, I don't care if you come to church every Sunday. What are you doing Monday through Saturday? So that is why we're on this. Well, it's not me. It's Yahweh that has carried us on this journey of rebuilding. Because he's saying, listen, some of my children, you don't have it right. You did not get it right. But I love you so much. Just like the communion, my God. Yeshua was beat, our Savior was beat with cat of nine tails. With glass and metal spikes and fists, planks, splinters. Yet he took it. Why did he do that? Because he loves you. If we really embrace the fact that our Savior loves us so much, Yahweh loves us so much, and a lot of us just take it for granted. You feel bad when your love is taken for granted, don't you? You act a fool. When somebody is taking advantage of your love, how do you feel? You're like, wait a minute. Especially when your children disrespect you after all the things that you have done for them. My God! Any parents in the house that... And have you felt that your children don't really understand what you have gone through for them? Some of y'all was tripping, wasn't you? Because some of you, well, mothers especially, I have to hear this. I carried you for 9 months. Because why you say that? Because you felt like that 9 months was rough. And then labor. Any ladies labor? Was it easy? So think about what you went through 100 times that, or 1,000 times that, or 10,000 times that. That is what your Savior endured because of the love that he had for each and every one of you. Does anybody appreciate? Man. So sometimes I just think that he's looking down like they only knew. And we know that Yahweh and Yeshua, Holy Spirit, they're all one. So you serve a God that actually rolled himself up in flesh. Because there was none. He looked. The scripture says he looked for a righteous one that can make sacrifice, and he could not find not one. So he said he took righteousness unto himself, salvation unto himself, and rolled up and came down here so that he can make a way for you. How great is our God? How great is our God? So this is what we've been talking about. So we've been talking about how he wants us to get this right. This is not a trick game. He's not trying to trick us. We know who's trying to trick us. And it's not Yahweh, it's the enemy. So Yeshua has come down and created a walk for us, showed us how to walk this out. Yahweh has showed us how to walk this thing out. And so he's saying, if you follow my design, if you follow my pattern, you'll get this right. You'll overcome. I don't know if you know, But this world is wrapping up, y'all. There has never been a time as this. I've been talking about North Korea for the last few weeks. Guess what? This past week, I believe they shot a missile that is the highest that has ever. It can definitely reach the USA. They know how to work the warhead. These are the last days, wars, and rumors of wars. There was an earthquake in Delaware. Do you guys know what's going on in the world? This week, a couple of days ago, there was an earthquake in Delaware over on these. There's not earthquakes in Delaware. It was a 4.2 or something in Delaware. That's when the word says there will be earthquakes. And see, we were the ones that had all the earthquakes. California, we cornered the market on earthquakes. Oh, and Japan. Japan was an earthquake every what? I acquiesced to Apostle because he used to live in Japan. You didn't know that, did you? Our apostle, you know, has lived all over the world. But earthquakes in Japan and different, but now earthquakes all over the place. People will say, I ain't coming to California. Why don't you come to California? Because y'all are earthquakes. Well, dude, y'all got tornadoes and hurricanes and stuff. But now there's an earthquake in Delaware. Oklahoma. Diverse places, that means different places. So the word says when you see these things happening in different places, when you see the wars and rumors of wars, the earthquakes and all these things, what does he say? Look up. Look up. Your salvation, what? What does that mean? All these things that we've been talking about all these years is about to go down. Who believes that? It's about to. Why are you saying that? I'm not saying this to scare you. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love of a sound mind. But I'm telling you because your salvation isn't just for you. Your salvation is supposed to be a testimony to help other folks. We come in contact with people every day. And we should be what? Spreading the gospel. But a lot of times we get complacent. We get comfortable in our salvation. I just want my bills paid and I'm cool. But what about the person that's hurting over there? What about the person that's experiencing depression? What about the person that's experiencing health challenges? We are supposed to be able to go out, not just me, we. He says these signs shall follow them that believe, not just the preacher, but you. You should be able to go out there and lay hands on the sick. And they will what? On your job. Right there in your cubicle. At the desk. At the water fountain. You should be able to pray and agree with somebody. In a parking lot. Who is doing that? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. You ain't got to lie, Craig. Because everybody not doing this thing. We all are supposed to be what? Warriors. Living this thing. The preacher can't do it himself. Tell your neighbor, they need us. That's the good work. So we are his workmanship. Every one of you is his workmanship. We're created in him to good works. Part of good works is sharing good news. Who knows somebody that knows that has bad news to tell you all the time? Every time you see them, they got bad news. You can raise your hand and I know some bad news. It's like every time you say, oh God. But why not be that person that always has the good news? Does anybody know Varsity that always got good news? It should be you. And it's ordained. People are like, I don't know what my purpose is. You've been called to spread the good news. That is your purpose. That is your calling. You can do it through all different kinds of media. But that is your calling. And so he's ordained that we should walk in them. And so we've been talking about, so the fact that, go here to Nehemiah, the second chapter. And if you want to hear about some of the different steps that we've took to get to where you are today, you can go to the media center. Nehemiah, the second chapter, 17th verse says what? Then I said unto them, you see the distress that we are in. These were the children of Israel that came back to their home and everything was burnt down. Walls burnt down. Gates burnt down. You see the distress we are in? How Jerusalem lieth and waits and the gates thereof are burned in fire? Come, let us build up the wall. That we be no more a reproach, that we be no more a disgrace. And so the beauty is that as believers, even though we've got things wrong, we can get them right. We can rebuild. We can rebuild. So just because you've made a mistake, all is not lost. Until he come, you got an opportunity to rebuild. Oh, look at the grace and the glory and the love of Yahweh that he has extended to you, that you can have some time to rebuild this thing. Because he could come tomorrow. Are you rebuilt? And so we've been talking about, so when they came back to their home, they had to build the walls and the gates. They had to rebuild all of the burned sections and all these things. So let everybody see the gates right quick. And so these were the gates. And so in the third chapter of Nehemiah, or Nehemiah, as we like to say in the Hebrew, each of these gates had a significance. And so we talked about the sheep gate, right? And the sheep gate spoke to our understanding that Yeshua and is the only way in and out. That was the only gate that was anointed. We have another gate that something happened to it that didn't happen to the other gates. But this particular gate, it was the only one that was anointed by the high priest, which told us that there was one way. Yeshua was that way. The fish gate told us about how to be followers, right? This is where we brought all the fish in. Anytime you see fish in the Bible, it speaks of souls, right? And your willingness to follow. Yeshua said, follow me and I will what? Make you what? Fishers of men. And even in the things that you do, if you follow Yeshua, he'll show you how to do it right. I worked in an industry. My first job as a bona fide chemist, and they were asking me to make shampoo. First day. And I was like, I never had to make shampoo. My background was from a analysis point of view. And she was like, well, you're a chemist. Go in there and make the shampoo. Because I was hired for the job. But in the interview, they didn't tell me you was going to have to make shampoo. So my first day, never forget it. She was like, okay, you make the shampoo. That's how she thought. I said, okay, I just took the boldness. And I got back to my desk and said, Father, you got to help me. And do you know, he helped me make shampoo my first day. He literally had me break it down like these are the different things. You need a foam booster. You need some type of preservative. You know, you need something to create the body in it, the thickness and all of that. Just help me break that thing down. If you would just follow him and ask him, whatever you do, I don't know what you do on a daily basis, but you won't do it as good as you would do it if you let him do it for you. He said, acknowledge him in what? All of our ways. So yes, my prayer that day was, help me make some shampoo. Do you think that he can help me do that? that's what, evidently, we got believers that don't believe. Because whatever it is that you do that your manager done marked you down for, if you just acknowledge Yahweh, he'll show you how to do it better. Because you need to be a better employee. Because you're his workmanship. A good employee is not always late. A good employee is not always bucking the system. A good employee is a team player. Uh-oh, it's getting quiet in here. I mean, I'm just saying, if you profess to be a believer, then don't make the rest of us believers look bad because you can't do your job right because you're in your flesh. Nobody can get along with you but you, the Christian. And I'm not saying outside of work, I'm just saying the work. I'm not saying like you got to go to lunch with these people and stuff like that. I'm just saying do the work. Show up on time. You a believer, but you're calling in sick every other month. You got more sick time used than anybody else. But yet you're talking about healing. You a believer, but you got rolled up more than anybody else on the team. Holy Ghost is just telling me to say this. I don't know who you are. But in the previous scripture, he said that we are his workmanship. So if you're professing to be a believer, you should be the best employee on the line. You should be the most dependable. You should be the most faithful. You should be the most punctual. Why? Because you are operating on a whole nother level than everybody else is. Come on. My boss always friction when pray on your boss. I have prayed on my boss, and do you know what? He changed and didn't even know why. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this. Yeah, I know why you're doing this. Listen, we got to be able to, listen, I got to live, you got to live your life outside of these diamond walls here. When you go out there, you got to represent. And really, this is what this rebuilding is about. He's saying, listen, there's been too many years where my church has not represented. Now I'm calling, this is the time for the real believers, the true believers, to stand up and represent. It's time to stop as the seasoned folk would say, the shucking and jiving. What is shucking and jiving? I know the jiving part, but what is the shucking? What's the shucking? Help me out. He said, playing around, acting like you doing something, you shucking. Y'all shucking. But he's saying, listen, I need my believers to stop shucking and jiving and do this thing. And so the fish gate did speak to us following, being great followers. The old gate spoke to us understanding that there's no, the old ways, the ancient foundation is the only way. Everybody wants to get their soul stirred up. They want their emotions stirred up nowadays. They want to be entertained. Listen, the word is not here to entertain you. The word is here to save you. You want the preacher to do flips and cartwheels and all that stuff to keep your attention? No. The word is the word. You don't have to do that. I saw some video of some dude backflipping in church. I'm like, what is going on here? What is the need for that? I mean, go to Cirque du Soleil if you want to be entertained like that. But this is the house of the Most High God. We don't need no flipping going on in here. Good God. This is church. Tell your neighbor, you in church. This is the word going forth. Save your life, man. So here we go. So then we talked about the Valley Gate. And again, you can go back to these other things in review. We've already talked about them. But the Valley Gate was the fact that we're going to go through something. There's going to be valleys in our life. Right, that was the night watch area where they had to kind of go down and make sure everything was okay, and they encountered some things during that process. But guess what? Yahweh raised them up. So even though you go through a valley, listen, saints should not be sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes up, sometimes down. This is a spiritual thing, right? So if you are going through a valley, you should be believing Yahweh enough that it's almost like the valley is not even having an effect on you. You're still steady. Rock steady. I remember Apostle saying, hey, he said, we was poor when coming up as kids. I didn't think we were poor. He said, but. There were believers to the point that just because they didn't have money, they couldn't go shopping and stuff. But guess what? There was some greens in the backyard. And some tomatoes. And some string beans. So we had beans, greens, but... Seriously, we didn't have to go to the store. We what? And the only thing that they could buy was the cornbread. So, but we kids, we was like, we had greens. We didn't care where they came from. And then they was just singing and happy and poor, but they were singing and happy. But Yahweh what? Provided. During the low times, they still had a song to sing. In the low times, they were still encouraged. In the low times, they still let their kids know, we still eating, we good. I never heard them complain. Never heard my dad talking about, why we gotta eat these greens all the time. No. So, as believers, check it out. You will go through something. My wife and I, we thought we had it together. We was like, we're not going to get married until we both have jobs. We got jobs, we both got married, and then we both got laid off. Because we were trusting in ourselves. But that really set our faith together. There were some good times, even though there were lean times, even though there were maraschino noodles. No, the maraschino is cheaper than a cup of noodles. See, we couldn't even afford the cup of noodles. We couldn't afford the top ramen. It was below that maraschino. 99 cents. Which one? 39 cents. See, my wife knows. She's like, they weren't 99, they were 39. So you're going to go through something. But guess what? If you put your trust in Yahweh, you'll just sail right over that stuff. He'll raise you up. So that's what we experienced in the Valley Gate. That's what the Valley Gate told us. The Dung Gate told us that there was garbage in our life. That was the garbage chute gate. You had to get that stuff out your life. There's some stuff that he's calling us saying, you don't need that no more. You don't need to do that no more. You're a new creature. And that's what we've been telling everybody. You got to embrace the fact that you are a new creature. Say, I am a new creature. That means I'm a new species. I rise above this all. He's lifted me up. He's elevated me. And so that's what that spoke of. We got to get those things out of our life. So last week we talked about the fountain gate. And really quickly, the fountain, anytime you talk about fountain, it speaks of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, in this day and age, there are churches out there saying you don't need the Holy Ghost. Come on, stop it. You must have it. It is essential. Yeshua, before he ascended, he told everybody, wait for the promise. The Holy Ghost is coming. Don't do anything until the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What does that mean? It means that don't go in your own mind. Don't go in your own might, what you think, but you're going to need something divine to get through this thing. You're going to need something supernatural to get through this thing. So you can't be even effective for me unless you're operating in my power. And so the Holy Spirit came in Acts, the day of Pentecost. And everybody was what? Filled. Everybody that showed up. Because there were people that didn't show up. But they were there and they were filled. And so that fountain gate speaks to that. So let's go here really quickly to, let's go to Johanan in the 7th chapter. And give me like 10 more minutes. I got you.
There's a lot going on.
But I got you. At least let me get to the one more gate today. And it's not going to take that long. All right. So it says, John 7:37. And it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, come unto me and what? Drink. Thirst. Thirst. The Greek word dipsao. Thirst. It's not just parched. Like this morning right now, I'm thirsty. But for water. But he's talking about not a natural thirst, but spiritual. And dipsao speaks to that. Those who painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. So Yeshua said, if there's anybody in that situation, and we know that there are people out there that are looking for fulfillment, they're looking for peace of mind, they're looking for joy. If there was ever a time to lose your mind, this is the time right now. There's so many crazy things going on in the world today. If we relied upon just our natural, we would lose our mind. Because you don't know what's left or right. You don't know what's up or down. And the word says that in the last days, people would rather believe lies than the truth. Deliberately, willingly ignorant. And so, if you want more, even believers, there's so much entertainment going on in the church. So many backflips and stuff. So much flesh that there's no spiritual feeding word going forth. So believers are out there scratching their heads like there's got to be more. I want more. There has to be something else. There has to be a deeper level. There has to be a higher plane. That's why we seek truth. We don't come at y'all with no denominations here, y'all. Man created all those divisions and denominations. Episcopalian, Catholic, Baptist, and then the Methodist, and then it's not just regular Methodist. You know, it has to be First African Methodist Episcopal. Pentecostal, apostolic. And the Pentecostals and the apostolics are against each other. Church of God and Christ. Christ and God. Church of Christ. All of them believe something different. You got to be baptized in this. You can't be baptized in that. We don't want the Spirit, but we'll take the baptism. Now some of them talking about we don't want the baptism, but we'll take the Spirit. You got all these different isms and schisms. We don't come with that. We come with the truth. If the word says you need the baptism in Yeshua's name, you need the baptism in Yeshua's name. If he says you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Case closed. Dismissed. What are we fighting about? What are we in disagreement about? If they was doing it in Acts, that's the way it should be done. If they was laying hands on folks to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then until he come back, he told them to do the work until he come back, right? Look around. Look around the room. He ain't come back yet. So we're creating all these different things. So we don't come to you with all of that division. We are the church for truth seekers. Straight up. We're seeking truth. But y'all, you keep on talking about Yeshua because that's the original name, saint. Jesus didn't come to 1611. If Yeshua existed before then, what were they calling him? And then that's what they were calling him, Yeshua, because the name actually means something. We call him folks, we name him folks after liquors, Alizé. Seriously, there was like a lady that named all the kids different tequila, Alizé, what? Remy Martin. She named all her kids after liquors. Maybe that meant something to her. I think Margarita was the other one. But seriously, names meant something. And then when there was a shift in somebody's life, when there was a move in somebody's life, Yahweh changed their name. Why did he do that? Because his name, your name meant something before, but right now I have elevated you. Now I got to change your name. With elevation came a change. So I'm telling you, when you're baptized in the name of Yeshua and you receive that name, you've been elevated. You got to work in that. You got to operate in that, right? And so this is what we're coming with. So people are thirsty for truth. This is that time. So dipsal, we're not just saying this to say it. This is what it means. We're thirsty. There are believers out here that says, there's got to be more. I want more. People were telling me that. Found a lady the other day. She said, I want more. Found out that the Holy Spirit, she didn't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. But guess what? She received the Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on. Because she got what was missing. So that's what that, show me the gates again. And then I'm going to let you go. So the water gate. When we talk about the water gate, go here. Let's go to Nehemiah. And we want to go to the third chapter. And we want to go to the 26th verse. So if the fountain gate spoke of the Holy Spirit, when we see fountains, that's what that means. When we see water, it means something else too. 26. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lieth out. And the 27th verse says, after them, the Tekoites repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall of Ophel. So basically, in the study and the translation of it, there were walls that they were, gates that they were repairing and walls that they were repairing. When they got to this particular gate, it doesn't say that they were repairing this gate. This was the gate, only gate that didn't need to be repaired. Just like the first gate was the only gate that was anointed. And so when we look at this, what did the water gate mean? Water, it's the word. The word does not need to be repaired. The word ain't broke. You don't have to fix the word. The word is the word. From the very beginning, the word was and is and always what? Will be. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with Yahweh, and the word what? Come on. In the word, in the beginning, before all of this, was the what? Tell your neighbor, the word ain't broke. Listen, if the word was there before all of this, how are you going to come in 2017 and trying to tell me we need to change the word? Carol, hold your hand up again. She was like, stop. Go here. And that's it. Everybody want a new word. I want new. There has to be something new. Ain't nothing new. It's old word, but new. He's always giving revelation. He's always giving new understanding. He's always like revealing. That's why y'all got to get into this Greek and this Hebrew. Because when you start finding out the real meanings of words, oh, it's just layers that you're just peeling back. And he keeps on showing you stuff. So let's go here. Go to, Psalm. And if you're a Hebrew scholar, it is Tehillim, 119. Wow, this gate didn't need to be repaired. It doesn't need to be improved. Word is perfect. Therefore, we got to study this thing. I wish the preacher would talk about something different. You don't even understand your Bible. You ain't even read that thing. You done skipped around, but you ain't read that thing cover to cover. And then some of the stuff you was just skipping over. No. You haven't even scratched the surface. Psalms 119:89, it says what? Forever. Yahweh, thy word is what? Where is it settled? But you don't hear earth trying to change it. It's already what? Tell your neighbor, it's already settled. What does that mean? Ain't no dispute. We ain't even going to dispute this. We're not going to fight this. It's already what? It's already settled. Go to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. And this is a problem. People trying to change the Watergate. Trying to bring some different meaning to the word that doesn't even exist. And Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, the second verse says, what? You shall not add unto the word which I what? What does add mean to the word mean? You know, I know some of y'all, listen, this is what y'all do. You like to doctor up stuff. I know. You just want to doctor stuff up. You know, you just think the word is a big kitchen. And somebody brings something to you and you think it's bland. So there you go. You got to say, give me the lorries. You got to put something in it. You got to spice it up. You know how y'all do. It ain't got enough lorries. It ain't. Something wrong with it. And y'all be making that stuff so salty. You need some more salt, dude. It's already got like lorries in it. And you put more salt in it. And now you know you done put the pork in it. And pork got salt in it. Y'all doing all the salt. That's why some of us got the gout. There are repercussions from adding stuff to it. Don't add to the word which I what? Neither shall you what? That means take away. Don't take nothing from it. You trying to edit it yourself. Uh-uh. He didn't tell you to do that. But that's what's going on in this day and age. I think we should add this. I think we should take that out. It's offensive. No. It is what it is. It's truth. Unadulterated. He says, don't diminish from it that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh, thy Elohim, which I what? These are his commands. Any military people in the house? Military. When a command goes forth, do the soldiers have the opportunity to change it? If you change it, there's a court martial for you. Last thing, go to Acts. And I'm going to leave you with this because I want you to meditate on this week. Talking about the word here. Acts 17, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to leave you with this last scripture. I love Acts. It's when the Holy Ghost first fell. The church of Acts is, we are still in the church of Acts. The things that went on in the church of Acts, like, should be going on today. But of course, during the years, people have watered down the word, taken away from the word, taken away from things. Yahweh wants the church to have his power back. Let me say that again. Yahweh wants the church to have his power back. That means Yahweh wants the believer to have their power back. I don't know about you, but I want all my power back. I want to have it back. I want to be able to do the things. I mean, those folks were so anointed that when their shadow passed over sick folk, the shadow, the folks was healed immediately because there was so much, they were so filled with the Holy Ghost, their shadow healed, folks. Does anybody believe that the power, the word can still do that today? So here we go. Last scripture, Acts 17 chapter. And the brethren immediately sent away Shaul, Paul, and Silas by night unto Berea. Because there were different believers in different places, so they had to go and bring the gospel all of these different places. And Berea was one of these places, right? Who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These, speaking of those that were in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What does that mean? These believers were what made them more noble? We all have been given the measure of faith. Yahweh does not, he's not a respecter of persons. We've all been given the same. But why would these folks be more noble than the believers in Thessalonica? The word tells us. Because in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures once a week, once a month, daily, whether those things were what? So, what does this mean? Why were these folks more noble? Because they were ready to receive the word. They were hungry for the water. They were hungry for that word. So they readily what? Received it. And it wasn't like they were just taking everything that they heard and they didn't. They what? They heard the word that was given them and they went back to the scriptures and searched it. To make sure that what they were talking about were so. So I challenge, I'm bringing you scripture today by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Go home and search. And see if the things that I am talking about are so. Be more noble. And if those Bereans in that day could be in the midst of the Thessalonicas, and the Thessalonicas would say, why do y'all think that y'all better than us? And the Bereans would respond, we're not better than you. We're just higher. Is anybody higher today? Is anybody higher? Father Yahweh, thank you for the word. 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 Father, as we go forth in this week, Father, there's going to be things that we're going to be confronted with. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be situations. There's going to be issues. But you told us to seek you in everything. And you would direct our path. You direct our path, not just in speaking in an audible voice, but you direct our path through your word. You direct our path through the discernment of the Holy Spirit. You've given us tools to direct our path. So we seek you in prayer. We seek you in the word. We seek you in speaking in our heavenly language. Because you care about every aspect of our life. There's going to be a situation at a job. There's going to be a situation in the family. But yet, whatever the challenge, you deliver us out of them all. Hallelujah. You deliver us out of them all. So let us go forth, Father Yahweh, not just as average run-of-the-mill believers, but we seek that nobility that the Bereans had. Not that they were better, but we just seek higher things. We seek you. We seek your higher understanding. We seek your spirit. And you will deliver, you will save, and you will rescue. And that is what the name Yeshua means. You will save, you will deliver, and you will rescue. So thank you. So help us, lead us, guide us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed just for a moment. Just, I have to speak on one more thing. The believers that have come today that say, listen, I don't.